Hey guys, welcome to The Things I Do For Love, a brief Game of Thrones card game podcast. Hey guys, welcome back to The Things I Do For Love. This is Will, and you'll probably notice my voice is still a little bit stuffed up. I'm still dealing with con crud post-Gen Con. Kind of a bummer, but at least we've got a little bit of other stuff to chat about this week. Now, this week, I'm going to go ahead and warn you up front, this is mainly about the season finale of the HBO show, season 7. So if you're worried about spoilers there, I would go ahead, turn off The Things I Do For Love this week. We'll be back to some more short card-related content next week. And of course, listen to The White Book on Fridays. Coming up is going to be the chapter pack review of probably the most bonkers good chapter pack that I have ever seen for second edition. So, that said, we've got a season finale that was on last night, I believe the longest episode of Game of Thrones. Certainly the longest we've seen in quite a while, at 81 minutes. So I believe that actually qualifies it as being long enough to be a feature-length film, which is an interesting one to me. We'll see how everything goes next season, which I believe is going to be in 2019. Pretty crazy to have to wait that long. Now, the episode itself. Honestly, I don't think that there was that much that was particularly surprising to folks in this season. At least, not all that much surprising to me from watching it. I think a lot of what we saw were things that those that have been fans for a while knew had to be coming eventually. It was just kind of solidifying it or making it actually happen. You know, for instance, a lot of folks know that Littlefinger is one of my very favorite characters. And while part of me had hoped that the cockroach would live, so to speak, you know, seeing him get his comeuppance and die was to be expected. I think most folks expected that to happen. Now, here's the problem I have with it, though. It felt a little too forced, a little too stereotypically, you know, fantasy, bad guy gets his due sort of thing. It didn't feel particularly Game of Thronesy to me, which is probably due to the insane speed they're forcing everything through here at the end. It's been a problem the rest of the season as well, I think, and remains so here. And what it winds up doing, and this is the thing that really bugs me about it, is that it winds up coming off as a trick played on the viewers rather than a scheme among characters on the show. Right, like when you look at other schemes that have been going on, and other things that wound up being surprises to people, you know, like Littlefinger betraying Eddard early on. You know, there was the warning not to trust me. You know, there were hints and clues that he you know, was out for himself. That he loved Catelyn, and he didn't really like Ned because Ned had the woman that he loved, that sort of thing. Or with Joffrey's death and the conspiracy there, you know, the Queen of Thorns and the poison and whatnot. It was a surprise to characters on the show, and it may have surprised some viewers, but the clues were there to show that there was a game afoot. I do not feel that they did that here with the Stark sisters, with Sansa and Arya, in regards to Littlefinger. Instead, I feel like this one was a conspiracy or trick or scheme played on the viewers in particular. It was not so much characters doing different things in front of each other because they needed to hide their motives from each other, you know, to surprise someone else or drop hints or something. to me, it very much read that the two of them, their interactions with Littlefinger and different things were to fool the viewers. At some point here, Arya and Sansa arranged something that we were 100% not privy to as viewers. It wasn't even hinted at. The scenes between them, I feel very much into the opposite, that the strife was real, that Littlefinger was messing with people's minds. And I don't enjoy that sort of thing. I feel that it's weaker, lazier writing to trick the viewers instead of tricking characters. I mean, yes, Baelish was tricked in the end. That of course, comes down to it. But the sisters took place in scenes that he was not in or aware of between each other to create that illusion for us, the viewers, not for Littlefinger's benefit or to dupe Littlefinger. So that really bugs me. Not a fan of that. Now, as well, what else do we have happen this episode? There's another one that does confuse or bug me a little bit, and that is the revelation of Jon's true name as Aegon Targaryen. Now, I could see the show having done this for a number of different reasons. On the one hand, could be they got to pick out the name themselves, picked out the name of the original conqueror of Westeros just for that historical nod and tie-in. It could also be, and this is the one where I think it starts getting kind of fuzzy and convoluted, it could be that they're using that to kind of merge in as a reference to the novels, to young Griff, who is also known as Aegon Targaryen, it's revealed in Dance with Dragons. Now, a lot of folks assume that young Griff, or Aegon in the novels, is the false dragon that is mentioned in prophecy to Daenerys, that he's a sham or charlatan, whether John Connington really knows and he's backing it up, or he himself has been duped, that's up in the air, but most folks think he's a fake. Now, if HBO, though, has merged these plot lines, rather than just pulling a name kind of out of the ether, now I have to start wondering, well, perhaps that Aegon in the novels is going to turn out to be legitimate. And I should point out, as far as living Targaryens, if he is indeed a Targaryen and the Targaryen he claims to be, Rhaegar's oldest son by, Elia Martell, then he actually has the best claim to the throne, better than Jon Snow, who would be his younger brother at best, if he is legitimate in the books. And there's been no hint about this annulment they talked about on the show and the remarriage. So at best, if that did happen, he's the younger brother, in which case his claim is worse. Or he is truly still a bastard, in which case his claim is even worse. Daenerys, then, as Rhaegar's little sister, Aegon's niece, would actually have a worse claim than Aegon as well. So this one intrigues me and makes me really want the next novel, which I know we're probably not going to get, but whatever. But it really makes me wonder where that particular plot line is going to go in the books, especially because I didn't expect HBO to add the Golden Company this late in the game, so to speak. In the novels, of course, that is the mercenary company that John Connington, known as Griff, and Aegon, known as Young Griff, are a part of, and then sail with back to Westeros to lead their conquest. Now, we haven't seen them, of course, in the show. There is maybe the chance that they're just going to talk about it all through season 7 and not introduce them next season. But I think that would be a waste. The old Chekhov's gun principle. If you have a gun in scene 1, it has to go off in scene 3. That sort of thing. It would be a real waste to talk about them and do nothing with them. It shouldn't have been done. So I hope they will be added then. But again, that goes back to, well, maybe their subplot in book 5 of the novels is actually going to turn out to be a lot more impactful and meaningful and relevant than we expected at first. So I do kind of like that the way HBO is having to take this to close it out, that it's actually surprising me that it's not just stuff that I feel is going to ruin the novels for me. It is actually building more interest in me to see how it actually plays out in the real canon, so to speak. And rather than just eliminating plot lines and storylines that are irrelevant, it's actually making me question if certain book plot lines are going to be more relevant than I realized, which I think is pretty awesome. So that's it for this week. Thanks for joining me, guys, and we'll be back with Cards again next week. The book,